If you would, open your Bibles with me to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians, the fourth chapter. There's a note here in the bulletin, but just to make sure everybody sees this. We will not have a service Wednesday evening, and our conference begins Friday at 7 p.m. We're very much looking forward to that. Lord willing, I'll be preaching Tuesday in Danville, Kentucky. Covet your prayers as I preach and travel. Brother Eric Floyd is preaching in Crossville this morning. We want to remember him as he preaches. He and Abby as they travel. Now, Colossians chapter 4, we'll begin our reading in verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open to us a door of utterance, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. We'll end our reading there. Well, let's stand together as Sean leads us in singing our call to worship.
Songbooks to number 431. I love to tell the story.
Much for me. wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story, will be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsty to hear it like a rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, will be the old, old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story, will be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love.
Would please turn with me to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did believe, did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous, who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto His glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God
without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God, which shall justify the circumcision by faith, and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Our reading there. Let's bow together. Prayer, please. Our holy heavenly Father, we are thankful that you brought us to this place this morning. Thankful for faithful pastor that you provided and other men to study and read and prepare and preach the gospel to us. We ask that you be with Frank in his worship service. Uphold him for this awesome task of opening your word and preaching to us. Let it be a true hour of worship. Let us receive the message prepared. Let us feed on Christ and see His name and His work magnified and glorified in this place. Pray for Eric as he's away preaching. Pray for give him the safe return trip back to us. Father, we pray for the upcoming conference in this place we'll have this week. We pray that each one comes here is blessed by the preaching of your gospel and Christ's work, and His name is magnified each service, and He be glorified. Thank you for the precious gift of your Son. We've met here to worship Him because of the work that He's done to atone for sin. We thank you for the precious blood that He's spilled. Pray that we be found in Him, washed, dressed in His righteousness. Each day, cause us to be anchored on Christ, to look less and less to ourselves, increase our faith in Him and Him alone. Again, Father, we pray for a true hour of worship this morning. Help us to focus and listen and receive the message and worship Christ this morning. These things we ask and pray in His name. Amen.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his, and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
My goodness. And we had a good service already this morning. Praise scripture reading and prayer. Very special. And Sean, that song you picked, I love to tell the story. I hope I'll be able to do it this morning. Not ruin this. Preach Christ and get out of the way. If you would, open your Bibles with me to Colossians chapter 4. I've titled the message this morning, Speech Seasoned with Grace. I took my title from verse 6 where the apostle writes, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Now, I would imagine that you're like me and we think about our speech being seasoned with grace. We automatically think about how our speech ought to be seasoned with grace as we talk to one another. And that certainly is true. But our speech should be seasoned. The believer's speech should be seasoned with grace every time we open our mouth. It really should. And this morning I want to look at several ways that our speech could be seasoned with grace. Number one is this. Let our prayers be seasoned with grace. In verse 2, Paul says, continue in prayer. And watch in the same with thanksgiving. Now the word continue that Paul uses there means be devoted to this matter of prayer. Be steadfast in, at all times about everything in prayer. Pray and pray and pray. And don't quit. Don't quit. You feel like God's not answering your prayer. Don't quit. He hears. Don't quit. And the word watch means be active in prayer. Be active in it. The scripture plainly teaches us that we ought to pray about everything. About all matters. Whether we think it's something this little or we think it's something this big. Our prayers are seasoned with grace when we pray about everything. Everything. Because, you know, praying about everything, praying about the things that we would say, oh, that's a little thing, but we pray about it. That shows dependence on the Lord. That's our speech being seasoned with grace. And honestly, what can you handle by yourself? I mean, there's not one thing that we can handle by ourselves. So there are no little things, are there? There are no little things. And we pray about everything. That is having our speech seasoned with grace. And I tell you, be active in this thing. The word Paul uses there is watch. Be active in real prayer. I'm talking about real prayer. I'm not talking about just going through the motions now. I'm talking about talking to our Heavenly Father. Don't go through the motions. Live in an attitude of prayer. An attitude of prayer before our Father. An attitude of prayer. Just about everything. I remember when Holly was born, my mother told me, you're going to learn, as a parent, you're going to learn how to talk and pray at the same time. Your child's going to ask you a question, something's going to come up, and you're going to learn to talk and pray at all times. An attitude of prayer. About it, just as we go through our day, you don't have to be stopping and bowing your head and praying, but just an attitude of prayer. As we go through our daily lives, that shows grace in the heart. It shows that we're living in dependence upon our Savior. That this is not just something that we say, oh, I believe we're saved by grace. I believe we depend on God to save us and keep us. Living in an attitude of prayer shows you mean it. Shows it's in the heart. And I'll tell you another way our prayers can be seasoned with grace is by praying for other people. You know, I always pray that the Lord would deliver me from praying selfishly. Just thinking about myself and the things that I need. Grace in the heart will cause us to pray for other people. And there's something I read this week I think is very good. If you talk to the Lord about someone, the Lord just might enable you to talk to them about Him. If you talk to the Lord about someone, the Lord just might give you an opportunity to talk to them and say something that would be helpful. Here's another big prayer of mine. That the Lord will not allow me to open my mouth and be hurtful and cause stumbling for God's people. But the Lord might give us something to say. If we talk to the Lord about someone, He might enable us to say something to them that would be helpful to them. And there's so many things in life, so many things going on in our world, that I would be completely honest with you, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to ask. And a real good request in prayer would be this. Lord, show us your glory. This is going on. I don't know. I don't know how to pray about it. I don't know what to ask about it. I don't know what your will is in this thing, but Lord, would you show us your glory? Now, God's told us. Remember, he talked to Moses that day. What's God's greatest glory? God told Moses, it's this. I'll be merciful to whom I will be merciful. I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious. God's greatest glory is showing sovereign mercy to sinners. Can you think of anything you'd rather see? I can. I pray for it every day. God's sovereign mercy. That He'd reach down among us and save His people. That's how God saves His people. In sovereign mercy. In a way that is more glorious than we could have ever thought of. Isn't that right? All right. When we're hurting. And we have specific problems. We have specific things that we take to the Lord in prayer. It would be very wise for us not to say, Lord, here's my problem, and would you do this to fix my problem? But we say that, like the Lord needs our suggestions, you know. We'd be much more wise, and we'll be much more blessed, if we have this problem. You'd say, Lord, show me your glory. The Lord was going to deliver us in a way. He's going to comfort our hearts in a way that's much more glorious than anything we could think or imagine. That's the way He saved us, isn't it? In a way that's more glorious than we could think or imagine. He's going to comfort and deliver His people in a way, the same way, more glorious than we could think or imagine. If the Lord saves us that way, I'm confident of this. He can lead us and guide us the same way by His sovereign grace. And our prayers are seasoned with grace when we don't offer any suggestions. We admit how helpless we are. We admit how ignorant we are, how short-sighted we are, and just say, Lord, show me your glory. Show me your glory. Here's another way our prayers are seasoned with grace. It's when we pray with thanksgiving. I have here in my notes that all of our prayers should include thanksgiving. I don't know that necessarily that that's true. There are times when all we can do is moan. Have you been there? All you can do is moan. Brother Cecil Rhodes told me, when the Lord brings you to that point, when all you can do is groan, he said, that's when you're really praying. That's when you're really praying. Sometimes all we can do is, like Peter, cry out, Lord, save me. I'm sinking. Lord, save me. I mean, I'm right now. Lord, save me. Lord, help me. Lord, have mercy. Look at Psalm 130. When I thought about this, we just cry, Lord, save me. Lord, help me. I thought about David saying, out of the depths have I cried unto thee. And I turned over to read it. Read where David's, out of the depths have I cried unto thee. And even in that prayer where David said, out of the depths I'm crying to thee, he included thanksgiving. Look here, Psalm 130. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared, that you might be worshipped. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. So let Israel, let God's people hope in the Lord. For with the Lord, there's mercy. And with him is plenteous redemption. He shall redeem Israel from all of his iniquities. David came a long way in 8 verses, didn't he? From out of the depths have I cried unto thee, to the mountaintop, he shall redeem Israel from all of his iniquities. There are times when all we can do is groan. But typically speaking, our prayers should include thanksgiving. We have much to ask the Lord for. And when the Lord taught us to pray, he told us to ask. Ask for this. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day the provisions that this flesh needs to live. Lord, I need daily grace. I need daily forgiveness. I need forgiveness every moment, every second. I need your grace. We need the Lord's presence, don't we? We need his presence. How tedious and tasteless the hours when Jesus no longer I see. I need his presence. I need his guidance. Lord, don't let me take a step by myself. Lead me. Guide me. We need to have our spirits renewed by the preaching of Christ. We ask for these things. And as we ask, we need to remember this. Oh, how much we have to be thankful for. You can't even begin to count up all the Lord's blessings to us. I'm just talking, just physically now. Brethren, we're rich. We're rich compared to the way people lived in times past. I mean, King Solomon would like to live in your house. Joyce told me this one. Oh, this is really smart. Solomon would love to live in your house, have indoor plumbing. He'd think you're the richest person he ever did. He couldn't even, what a great thing. Brethren, we're rich. Compared to how people live in other places of the world, we're rich. Look at Psalm 40. And that's nothing. I mean, that's nothing compared to the spiritual blessings that God has given his people in Christ. Psalm 40, verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they're more than can be numbered. We can't even count God's blessings, His spiritual blessings to His people. You think what Almighty God has given His sinful people. God is holy. He requires perfection. And He's given us everything He requires. God requires what we cannot give, what we cannot produce, and He's given us everything that He requires of us in His Son. Wayne mentioned it in his prayer. God's given us the precious gift of His own Son. His own beloved Son. God's given His Son to His people. He's given us everything in His Son. The Father gave His Son, the Son of His love, He gave Him as a sacrifice to put away the sin of His people so that a holy God could accept them. The sin of God's elect is gone. Put away under the blood of Christ so it can never harm God's people again. They can't be charged with it and condemned ever again because Christ was condemned in our place. Because He shed His blood to pay that awful, awful sin debt so that His people would never be separated from God. Christ our Savior suffered that for us. He cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He knew full well why the Father had forsaken him. He cried that for our comfort. If our substitute was forsaken of the Father in our place, you never will be. Oh, He's given us everything. And saying thank you is having your speech seasoned with grace. There's just something wrong with somebody who doesn't say thank you. Particularly when we think of God's blessings to us, I don't deserve any of the blessings, any of these spiritual gifts that God's given me, yet He's given them all to me freely. I deserve just exactly the opposite of it. And He's given me what Christ earned as a man. He's given them to me freely. How can I not say thank you? I'm thankful that righteousness is in Christ, that He's my righteousness, not my obedience to the law. How thankful can you be that Christ has made you holy? If you believe Christ, He's made you holy, without which no man shall see the Lord. He's made you holy so you see the Lord. I'm thankful for eternal life in Christ, life that cannot be lost. I'm thankful for the forgiveness of my continuing sin, the sin I've committed just in the last second as I stand here preaching the gospel of Christ. God still forgives my sin. I'm thankful that God forgives my weak faith. I'm thankful. Oh, I'm thankful. The Lord remembers that we're just dust. I'm afraid we often get too big for our britches and we forget we're just dust. He doesn't. He remembers we're dust. I'm thankful the Lord pities His children. David often talks about His tender mercies. His tender compassion. I'm thankful for the precious promises of God's grace. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Your father and mother will forsake you, and when they do, I'll take you up in my arms. My grace is sufficient for thee. I'm not saying the thorn doesn't hurt. I'm not saying the trial doesn't hurt. God says, my grace is sufficient for thee. He said, I know your sorrow. I'll come again to you. I'll come again, take you. I go away. Yes, I go away. It's expedient for you that I go away. And when I go away, I'll send the comforter to you. You won't be alone. I'll send the comforter to you. Thankful. Thankful for this. You could just go on and on and on, go through every page of God's word. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for y'all. I thank God for your faithfulness, for your commitment to the gospel. I'm thankful for your love and your kindness to one another. Just go on and on and on. You just think up as many things as you want. Thankful. Saying thank you, Lord. That's having your speech seasoned with grace. Telling each other thank you. That's having your speech seasoned with grace. And when you pray, and I've asked you this often, and not purely for selfish reasons, but for God's glory and for your good, when you pray, I covet your prayers. Pray for the preacher. Pray for these men. Wayne prayed for these men who are coming to preach at the conference. When you think of these men, pray for them. Pray for them. Look what Paul says in verse 3 in our text, Colossians 4. With all praying also for us, that God would open to us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. It'd be good when you pray. Your speech is seasoned with grace when you pray and ask the Lord to give God's preacher a message. A message of truth. A message of Christ. And enable him to preach it. And a message that you can hear that will benefit your soul. Lord, give your servant a message that I need when we meet on Sunday and Wednesday. Pray that the Lord give the preacher and you an understanding of the mystery of Christ. What a mystery that Almighty God would love people like you and me. What a mystery that God would send His Son, sacrifice Him, shed His blood to put away the sin of people, the likes of us. That's a mystery. What a mystery that God uses the preaching of the gospel from the lips of a sinful man to the ears of sinful people through the stumbling and bumbling of the preacher, and God still blesses His word and saves His people, feeds their soul. Pray. Pray that the preacher will speak as he ought to speak. Because I'm telling you, he can't unless the Spirit opens his mouth. But Bob Coffey said this years ago, and I remember it well and think of it almost every week. Here's the thing that frightens a man by standing up in front of a group of people and opening his mouth to preach the gospel. The new man is scared to death what the old man's going to say. And praying for the preacher. That's your speech being seasoned with grace. Because when you pray for the preacher, you know what you're admitting? I need to hear from God. I need to hear from God. I need to hear Christ preached. And if I'm going to do it, I need God to open the lips of a man. Enable me to hear a message that will give life to my heart, that will give comfort to my soul, that will point me to Christ. No preacher can preach unless God enables him, unless God opens his mouth. And Paul mentions specifically here, pray that the Lord will open doors. Give us open a door of utterance so we might be able to go preach to the lost so the lost can hear the Savior. Don't you want the Lord to open doors so your loved ones, your friends, your family, your neighbors, people in your community can hear the gospel? Asking the Lord to open doors so His people could hear of Christ. That speech being seasoned with grace. I want others to hear of Christ like I have. I want the Lord to save others like He saved me. Lord, give us an open door of utterance. And if you want a prayer to be answered, here's a good prayer. This prayer will be answered every time. Lord, save your people. Save your people. I sure would like for the Lord to save His people here. I sure would like it. I sure would like it if the Lord saved my loved ones. But this is what I do know. God will save His people. God has blessed this congregation. He's blessed us with His gospel. I mean, this blessing is just untold. Let's not hoard it up and try to keep it to ourselves. No, God's given it with this blessing. This great blessing comes great responsibility to preach the gospel to our generation. Oh, I want to be faithful to that. I want to be faithful to our generation, don't you? Let's pray God give us an open door of utterance. And asking the Lord to be gracious to others. And let others hear the gospel like we have. That's your speech being your prayer being seasoned with grace. All right, here's the second thing. Let our preaching be seasoned with grace. In verse 4, Paul says that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Let me speak like I ought to speak. I was going over my notes this morning. I thought, Frank, where have you been? Our preaching cannot just be seasoned with grace. Brethren, if we're going to preach the gospel, we can't just throw in a little grace here and a little grace there. like, you know, you're cooking, you ladies cooking, you put a little salt in, you put a little of this, or, you know, put a little bit of that in, whatever it is. You know, I can't cook nothing, so I don't know, but whatever you put in, season stuff, make it taste good. We can't just throw in a little grace here, a little grace there. Our preaching, if it's gonna be true, if our preaching is going to glorify God, if our preaching is going to do any good to the hearts of God's people, it's got to be all grace. All grace. Not seasoned with grace. All grace. God help us from being so legalistic and telling people what to do and what not to do and how to live and you got to do this. That's not gracious. It's just not gracious. It's not gracious. It's mean-spirited. Because nobody can do it. Nobody can do it. I know what I ought to do, what I ought not to do. Everybody knows how to live. You come into the world of conscience that tells you what you ought to do, what not to do. You just can't do it. That's the problem. That's not preaching grace. It's putting a burden on people. Like when I mentioned this in the lesson this morning, that Peter said neither we nor our fathers could bear. That's just unkind. It's ungracious. When we preach the gospel, this is what we're supposed to do. Take the burden off. The Savior said, are you weary? Are you burdened? Come unto me, I'll give you rest. Not come unto me and I'll make you work and put this heavy burden on you. Come unto me, I'll give you rest. My yoke is easy. My burden's light. What a light burden to come rest in Christ. What a light burden, what an easy yoke to come and depend on Christ to do everything for you. Take the burden off people. That's preaching grace. The message of the gospel is grace. By grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. You don't have to conjure it up. It's the gift of God. The message of the gospel says the Father elected a people in grace and love. And those people shall be saved. Not one of them will perish. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out. The message of the gospel is man is totally depraved. That's you and that's me. We're totally depraved. Everything in us is sin. We're lost in sin. We're dead in sin. And the message of the gospel is God saves sinners. By grace. By his free grace. I'm telling you, it's a good thing, because here's one thing a dead man can't do. He can't work. He can't do work. He can't do anything to earn. God saves his people by grace. Wayne read it earlier. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but God justifies his people freely through the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Our message is salvation by grace. And that lets people's heart be established with grace. This thing is sure and it's certain. Therefore, Paul said, it is a faith that it might be by grace that to the end. This is the purpose, that it's by grace through faith that the promise might be sure to all the seed. This thing of salvation by grace is sure. And I tell you, don't ever think, well, all's lost. I mean, there's nobody worshiping God anymore. I mean, how many people live in the tri-state area? And this is a pretty good crowd, but when you think of how many people live here, not very small percentage, isn't it? But don't think, well, I'm just going to give up because everything's lost. Even so, at this present time also, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. God has a people. He's calling them out by his grace. He's feeding them by his grace. He's keeping them by his grace. He'll glorify them by his grace. Just keep preaching grace. They'll be called out. Believers owe everything that we are and everything that we have to God's grace. God just keeps showering his grace upon us so that we are constant debtors to God. I am what I am by the grace of God. I know what I am in Adam. It's too shameful to mention. And this is also true. I believe God. I know it's weak faith, but I believe God. I do. I believe God. I love to hear the message of grace, the message of Christ that thrills my heart. That's true. Not as much as it ought to, but it does. My mind wanders sometimes. I'm here. I don't know, but it does. I am what I am. I have that faith. I can feed on Christ that way by the grace of God. I am what I am by God's grace. Yes, we're great sinners. We think we're great sinners, and brother, we hadn't even started to scratch the surface of the mountain of our sin. But we're redeemed from all of that sin by grace. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace. Of His grace. We're elected by grace. Called by grace. We're saved by grace. We grow in grace by grace. That makes sense. We grow in grace by grace. We're kept by grace. And we're going to be glorified by grace. This thing of salvation of a sinner is all of grace. Look at, with me at 1 Peter chapter 5. If salvation is by grace, this is how this thing's going to end. 1 Peter 5 verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That's preaching grace. That's preaching grace. So let your prayers be seasoned with grace. Let your preaching be all grace. And thirdly, let your speech to unbelievers, to those that are without, let that speech, when you talk to them, let your speech be seasoned with grace. Back in our text, in verse 5, Paul says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. Now talk like, when you talk to those that are without, here's how you let your speech be seasoned with grace. Talk like a person who's dependent on God. Talk like a person. You don't have to sound all religious all the time, but just talk like a person who's dependent on Christ. Be kind. If you want your speech to be seasoned with grace to those that are without, to the unbeliever, be kind to an unbeliever. They're dead and they're blind, I know, but show grace. Let your speech be seasoned with grace by being understanding. They can't help it that they're blind. They're born that way. They can't help it that they're dead. They're born spiritually dead. And I tell you what, a former blind person sure ought to be understanding to somebody who's blind right now, shouldn't they? If you were born blind, and you remember being blind, and now you've received your sight, boy, you sure ought to be understanding somebody's still blind, shouldn't you? I warn you, this bothers me a great deal. Be very, very careful of making fun of people in false religion. I know they do crazy stuff. I know it's just crazy religious ceremony. I know they're just grasping at straws. I know. But making fun of them is not gracious. I know that they're on the Mount Carmel. Elijah kind of mocked the prophets of Baal. That was one time. And that was Elijah, not you and me. I think we just stay off that field of play right there. It's not gracious. It's just ungracious for a former blind person to make fun of another blind person when they stumble into something. They can't see. And that's not living in an attitude of grace. It's not. Do we say this or do we really believe it? I'd do the same thing if it weren't for God's grace. Not only would I do the same thing, I'd do worse. I'd be the leader of the pack if it were not for God's grace. That's just being ungracious. And I was typing out my notes yesterday, and I just, on my word program, I looked at for synonyms of this word ungracious, because I thought, is that the word I want to use, ungracious? Here's what the synonyms for this word ungracious. It's ill-mannered, Didn't your mama spank you for being ill-mannered when you were little? It's ill-mannered. It's unseemly. It's rude. It's unseemly for the believer. And it's uncivil. Now I think the least we could be is civil, don't you? At least that. And when you're speaking to everyone, whether it's a believer or an unbeliever, just let everything that you say be in keeping with grace. Don't say something that's contradictory to grace. Say things that are in keeping with grace. That's letting your speech be seasoned with grace. I was in high school. First time I remember Brother Henry saying this. Landry thinks that's 100 years ago when Frank was in high school. 100 years ago, but it was a long time ago. But I remember this. And this is what he said. I was in high school, he said this. And if you were there, you remember this. He's talking about let your speech be seasoned with grace. He said that everything comes out of your mouth, pass this threefold test. First, is it true? If it's not true, don't say it. But if it passes this test, is it true? Second, is it kind? And if it passes those two tests, is it true? Is it kind? Third thing, is it necessary? If it passes all three of those, go ahead and say it. If it fails one of them, don't say it. And 40 years later, I've never found anything, Lander, it's not been 100 years, it's been 40. 40 years later, I haven't found anything better than that. This is speaking with grace. Let your speech be seasoned with grace. Something might be true. You know, maybe it is true. But it's unkind to repeat it. So don't. When you hold that back, that's letting your speech be seasoned with grace. Something may be true, but it's unnecessary for one of our little ones to know it. It's unnecessary for a weaker, younger believer to know it. It's just there's things you parents know you just don't talk about in front of your children because it's not necessary for them to know that yet. They're going to learn all the gross, ugly things of this world on their own. It's unnecessary. Holding that back is letting your speech be seasoned with grace. All right, here's the fourth thing. Let your speech to others in the church be seasoned with grace. Now, we speak to each other. We say we're sovereign gracers. Hurricane Road Grace Church. Well, now, let's speak like that. Let's speak of grace to one another. And speak in grace to one another. You know, we're still in the flesh. We need grace. We need grace from God. We need grace from each other. Let's be gracious with one another. And here's a subtle trap somebody can fall into. Don't give the impression, I'm blessed in this. You know, God's blessed me recently. Things are going so well. You know, I'm blessed because I've just done it. I've done it right. You know, I've done it right. My children all, look how they're prospering. Look how they're, it's because I raised it right. You know, I followed all God's instruction and I raised it right. You know, now somebody hear that. Maybe they're going through a tough time. Maybe it's not going so well for them right now. Maybe their children are struggling. Their children are having troubles. And you know what they're going to think? They're going to think I'm not blessed like them because I just didn't do as good as them. Brethren, that's works, not grace. Let's not speak that way. That's not gracious, because you know what? It'll discourage our brethren. If they're not having a time, you know, that's just as good as ours is right now. Let's be gracious to one another. Talk with that's not in keeping with grace, is it? Saying I'm blessed because I did so good. That's not in keeping with grace. And let's speak in grace to each other. Graciously. Be kind. Be forgiving. Be tender-hearted with one another. I'm telling you, people get a mouthful of harshness and selfishness and self-promotion and ugliness and divisiveness out there in the world. Let's not have it here. Give people a mouthful of grace. Mouthful of grace. I'm telling you, it tastes better. A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. Speaking grace to one another. And when there's differences and there's in the way we see things or the way we want to do things or you disagree with ways things ought to be done out there in the world, brother, leave it at the door. There's differences, but I'm telling you, God's grace should overcome it. And it bothers me when it doesn't. Don't you? It bothers me when it doesn't. If we ever get this through our head, we're going to be better off. Grace is more important. There are things that I hold dearly out there in the world. I have just, things I hold dearly. Well, grace is more important. Somebody else might not think that here. It's all right. We don't even have to talk about it then. Grace is more important. I might have real opinions about how this government ought to be run, how this country ought to be governed. But very, 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 very shortly, that's not going to matter one whit. And all that's going to matter is Christ. That's going to come to you and me much faster than we can possibly imagine. It's coming so fast. God, our Savior, and His glory is a whole lot more important than my ways and my desires. Then let's leave our ways and our desires out there in the parking lot, and it'd be better if you could leave them at home. You come here seeking Christ, seeking the glory of God our Savior, seeking the good of His people. Not seeking my good, seeking your good. Let me ask you, what's more important than God's saving, keeping grace to sinners? Is there anything as important as that? The answer, by the way, is no. What's more important than the glory of Christ our Savior? What's more important than lifting up Christ our Savior? If we lift Him up, His people just won't have time to think about anything else. It is utterly amazing how well God's people will get along if we just stay focused on Christ. Isn't it? Your heart's calm. You feel peace. You're able to love one another if we're all just looking at Christ. If we're all seeking to promote the Savior and not ourselves, then let's do that with one another. By having our speech seasoned with grace. Be gracious. I just think, how could I not be gracious to you after God's been so gracious to me? That's letting your speech be seasoned with grace. God help us to do it. Let's bow together. Our Father, how we thank You for Your mercy and Your grace. Oh, how we thank You for Your free grace in our Lord Jesus Christ. We can't even imagine how lost, how far gone we'd be if it wasn't for Your electing, calling, saving, keeping grace. Father, I beg of You that You'd enable us to have our speech be seasoned with grace, to talk frequently about God's grace to us. Enable us, Father, to be gracious to one another. To be gracious to those that are without. And as a church body, have our focus, our attention, our heart's desire on lifting up, together lifting up, Christ our Savior. It's in His precious name, for His sake and His glory, we pray. Amen. I hate to even say anything else. I want us to focus on that message, but if some of you men could set up the three tables that we have out there that we serve food on and so forth, and a row of folding chairs in the back after you're done, I'd appreciate it. All right, Sean.
Okay, if you would, turn to song number 304 and stand as we sing, Savior, More Than Life to Me.
Savior, more than life to me, I am clinging, clinging close to Thee. Let Thy precious blood apply, keep me ever, ever near Thy side. Every day, every hour, tender love to me. Bind me closer, closer, Lord, to Thee. Through this changing world below, lead me gently, gently as I go. Trusting Thee, I cannot stray. I can never, never lose my way. Every day, every hour, let me feel Thy cleansing power. May Thy tender love to me bind me closer, closer, Lord, to Thee. Let me love life is o'er, till my soul is lost in love, in a brighter, brighter world above. Every day, every hour, let me feel Thy cleansing power. May Thy tender love to me bind me closer.